I'd like to express my appreciation to the church here for the opportunity to study a lesson from God's Word. The topic tonight, I presented a lesson similar to this probably 15 to 20 years ago, and I know recently there was a request for Rodney's Friday night Bible class that we study about 1 Corinthians 11, and I think Brother Pat Donahue is going to be doing that maybe this month. But there's one particular thing that I've heard Pat speak on it two or three times, and he does as good a job as anybody. But this is kind of a side point or maybe a different point than he generally brings out. I thought it was worthwhile since I think the focus, or at least some of the focus, was on our young people understanding maybe this passage. And maybe when I was, you know, in my 20s or something like that, I kind of struggled some with this passage. And I just kind of happened, I guess, through God's providence or whatever, happened upon this particular perspective. And it helped me a lot, and so maybe at least it's worth your consideration to see whether or not it might help your understanding. But so what I had always, of course, gone by was King James Version, and very reliable translation of the Bible. I don't know how other people study, but when I study, a lot of times, you know, if I don't get a particular thing, I look at another version that's, you know, a reliable version too, to see about the wording, to see if, you know, I get any enlightenment from that sort of thing. And when I was doing that one time, I ran upon this American Standard Version, which was a version that I'd gotten long about that time. And it kind of clarified to me some things. But I also had some questions as to whether, you know, it was parallel with what the King James said or not. And so I went back and I studied, looked at the King James, you know, and looked back at the Greek words that were actually used or that were translated into the King James, and just seeing if I could bridge all that together. And so anyhow, as I said before, that helped me a good deal to do that. And so hopefully it will at least help some others as well. So as we mentioned, there are, you know, several reliable versions or translations of the Bible. Not all versions are. You know, and the wording differences sometimes can help us to understand some things a little clearer. Certainly, this lesson is not proving that one version is better than another overall. It's just a study. And in this study tonight, again, we're not doing an exhaustive study of this passage, since Pat's already been picked out to do that. You know, in the coming Bible classes. So we won't really be discussing the dispensational argument. That's basically the argument that in chapters 12 through 14 of 1 Corinthians, you know, it talks about spiritual gifts and how that they will pass away. And so people tend to lump this, or some people tend to lump 1 Corinthians 11 into that too. Just to tell you what that is, but not to really go into it. I'm sure he'll do a good job on that. And we're not really discussing whether this applies to, you know, just praying or prophesying, or whether it has to do with all worship. Sometimes you'll see sisters that wear the covering, you know, just anytime they're worshiping. Others, even in the worship service, you know, you'll see them only wear the covering during the praying and prophesying or something like that. So we're not trying to get into that tonight, but I think that is, you know, both of those are worthy topics on this. You know, and we're not discussing whether this is just public worship or all worship in general. But we're just discussing the basic matter, you know, as to whether this passage is talking about the hair being the covering, or is it something more than that? So, in this passage, the display on my computer is also, it says, I was going to read up here from the American Standard Version, which is on the left, and on the right is the New King James Version, which is very close to the King James Version. But if you want to read along in the version of your Bible, or read the one on the right, which is the New King James Version, as I read the one on the left, you'll see some differences in differences in wording. I don't think there's any differences in the actual meaning here. It says, "Now I praise you that you remember me in all things and hold fast to traditions, even though I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So that's just the general headship thing that we all don't have a problem with. It says, "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head, but every woman praying or prophesying with her head unveiled, dishonoreth her head. For the woman, for it is one and the same thing as if she were shaven. For if a woman is not veiled, let her also be shorn. But if it is a shame to a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be veiled. For a man indeed ought not to have his head veiled, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. For neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have a sign of authority on her head, because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the woman without the man, nor the man without the woman in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, so is the man also by the woman. But all things are of God. Judging yourselves, is it seemly that when woman pray unto God unveiled, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is dishonor to him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seemeth to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." So, as you, hopefully y'all can see this on the screen up here, but these words, these various words that have to do with cover appear, I think it's seven times in this chapter in the King James Version, New King James Version. And as you can see, the ones in blue, the first and last, are actually the same, one version to the other. And the ones in between, though, the American Standard uses the word veil or some form of that. The New King James used covered. Of course, veiled, you know, can also be or is a subset of covered. You know, you can cover things different ways, veiling being one way, but you know, in this passage, I think it seems to me, at least, that the American Standard is a little more specific on, you know, what the requirement is here. And so, what we want to look at in the coming charts, or the next chart has, or next couple of charts, I think, has to do with these five occurrences, the various forms of covered or veiled in this passage. So right here is the King James Version, and I use this that breaks the verses down a little bit differently. And so the wording's not significantly different from the King James Version. But as I mentioned, if you look on the right there, in verse 4, the word kata, I think is how you pronounce that, is the Greek word. If you look in Strong's concordance, Strong, in his concordance, he has the words numbered, and you can actually go to the back and he has them actually in the Greek, and you can actually see how it's written out, unless you're better than I am as far as Greek is concerned. Doesn't do you a whole lot of good. So he assigns a number to those words. And if you can see here, on that right side column, there it's actually four different words there. The middle two are actually a variation of one or the other, and one has to do with uncovered and the other one has to do with cover, but it's basically the same word except for that. But in verse 4 there, where it talks about every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, in that there, all the versions that I looked at use the same word for this basic word, kata here, or kata, however you would want to pronounce that. And they all render that the same as covered. But as we drop down into the ones that are in red here, the first occurrence here in verse 5, and also in verse 13, it uses this word, Strong's word, 177. I'm not sure that I can pronounce it. Acetacalyptos, something like that, which means not covered or unveiled, according to Thayer's Greek English Lexicon of the New Testament. And so, a little different word than the first one there. And then as you drop on down into verses 6 and 7, we see the word covered there. And it's, again, a different word, a Strong's Greek word, 2619, but it's basically the same word as uncovered, which we had before, except it's, you know, in the positive sense instead of the negative sense. Catocalypto, if I understand the pronunciation of that, which is, again, saying to veil or cover oneself. And then it makes a special note there in Thayer's. It says, you know, not just anything about oneself, but the head. So that's what that's talking about there. And then the last occurrence down in verse 15, I won't even attempt to call that word there, but it's again Strong's word 418. And all these different versions, the King James Version, American Standard Version, New King James, Revised Standard Version, New American Standard Bible, all of them that I looked at render this word covering again. So our word study is on you know, covered or uncovered, has shown that the reading of the King James Version, New King James Version, American Standard Version on this passage are the same, you know, when you look into these basic meanings on the word, on these words that are used there. The American Standard, at least from my perspective, is a little easier to follow. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as I get further. So this right here is the American Standard and how it's laid out. And just a few comments. Again, there's no change there in that scripture on the American Standard, but just a few comments. On verse 3 here, we see that how it lays out the general headship, as would also in Ephesians 5 and verse 23. And other verses as well. Verse 4 instructs men not to pray with their head covered. And then verse 5, we see that being covered, you know, is not the same as being shaven. Sometimes people will make that comment, you know, if you're uncovered, then you're shaven. But this right here is showing us that it's as if you were shaven. It's not the same thing, but it's, you know, intent or, you know, in the final purposes, I guess, it's either obeying or disobeying God by what you do on either of those two things. And then verse 6 says, or we see that if a woman does not need to be shorn or shaven, it says, let her be veiled. So, you know, if it's a shame for a woman to be, to not have hair, then it says, let her be veiled. Verses 7 through 12, we would all see this headship teaching alike. You know, there's no difference there. But the religious world, of course, does not see that the same. You know, I know a lot of people I've worked around in different things, and they prescribe to agree with the Bible. But when it's these kind of verses, women don't want to leave the pulpit. They don't want to do different things that would show their headship. And so we need to always make sure that we're respecting God's word and try to convince others to do the same. Then verse 13, Paul has laid down in these previous verses the commandments from the Lord, and he asked us to judge. Is it right for a woman to pray unveiled? So after he's made his commands or laid down the Lord's commands, then he asks a simple question. Does that make sense to you? And in verses 14 and 15, this is something that I spoke of a minute ago before I kind of came upon this, that gave me a lot of trouble. I could follow down to this point. But then when it started talking in 14 and 15 about, you know, the hair being a covering, in my mind, I had a hard time distinguishing that. At least I would have had a very difficult time explaining that to someone else, which I think in most cases the way you can determine if you actually understand something or not. So, but looking at it from what we've talked about here, you know, the fact that there are differences in the words here and even the words that we get this text from, then, you know, we can, or at least I can see a difference there. I realize that people understand these verses differently. You know, I've known a lot of honest people that I thought saw this differently. But I think if we consider some things, and that's what I try to always do, is look at things on its own merits. You know, if I don't believe something, somebody's got an argument, I try to look at it that way. And I think from what I know of the brethren here, that's the way a lot of people look at things. We're kind of revisiting this again for the study tonight has helped me to remember more clearly exactly the points that I, you know, remember from some time ago. Hopefully those who are interested in, you know, the subtopics that we haven't talked tonight. I think I taught this in about 20 minutes years ago when we were having two lessons back to back, and I taught it in that sort of time. And so that's about what it's going to take again tonight to teach this. You know, if I had gone into, and I'm sure when Pat teaches it, that's going to be a pretty long lesson, I'm sure, unless he cuts some of that out. I'm sure he will do a very thorough review of the whole thing. If someone thinks that I've, you know, missed something or misapplied something, certainly you'd be my greatest friend for pointing that out, you won't hurt my feelings. I may not have an answer for you, but I'll try to get one if that's what's needed. As I say, this is a little different perspective, I guess, than a lot of people. When Billy Randolph preached this 2 or 3 years ago here, I actually wasn't here, but I listened to him through the internet, and he had some of these same kind of points, not as much going down into the words as I remember it, but it was a similar kind of study. And so, but if there's anyone here tonight, not concerning this altogether, but just anything that you have done in your life that you need to make correction of, we would encourage you to do that tonight. Or if there are some here that have never rendered obedience to the gospel and would desire to do that at this time, we would bid you come as together we stand and sing.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high.